We read God's Word tonight from Jeremiah chapter 17. The text we consider is verses 5 through 8 of Jeremiah 17. We read the first 18 verses. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills, O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day thou knowest. That which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction. Thus far we read the Word of God tonight. May God bless the reading of His Word. We consider verses 5 through 8 tonight as the text. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Beloved congregation, tonight's sermon is based on part of the text that the elders will begin using next week for family visitation. The elders will be using verses 5 through 14 of this chapter for family visitation. And tonight we consider verses 5 through 8. And it is good for us to understand that the oversight and the spiritual care that the elders will exercise through family visitation is necessary for us as a congregation. And that is clear to us when we understand the circumstances of not only the prophecy of this text in this chapter, but the entire prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is prophesying to Judah, the people of God. And Judah is a nation that has fallen away from God. And that helps us understand the need for family visitation, because even though we have over 500 years of Reformed history before us, and even though the Reformed faith then is no longer in her infancy, but as our fathers grew and mature in the Reformed faith and have passed that down on to us, we need to understand that it is still a great danger for us as the people of God to fall away from God into apostasy. The nation of Judah at this time is not in her infancy. This is a nation that has many centuries of history behind her now. There have been great spiritual reformations. You may think of Reformation under David, maybe under good King Asa, or under the good King Hezekiah. And the people of Judah certainly viewed themselves at this time as the people of God. But God's word comes to Judah through Jeremiah, exposing the sin of the people of Judah, exposing their apostasy. The nation of Judah had fallen away from the Lord. Beloved, there are many denominations today that have a much longer history than we do, and who were known for many years for their spiritual strength and maturity, that have now sadly fallen away into apostasy. And one of the reasons for that, there are many others, but one of the reasons for that is that the elders, the men called by God and by the Lord Jesus Christ, did not exercise the necessary spiritual oversight over the people of God under their care. And so, even though Article 23 of our church order required family visitation in the early days of the Reformation because the people were not very spiritually mature, because they needed constant spiritual care in order to leave the history of and the errors of the Roman Catholic Church behind and to be established, rooted, and to grow up in the Reformed faith, we today, too, need the spiritual oversight and care exercised through family visitation. Do not think that because we are a Reformed and a Protestant Reformed congregation, that a spiritual falling away cannot happen among us. Be thankful. Do not be resentful. Be thankful for the visit of the elders as they come into your homes bringing this word of God. And the word that comes in the text is a word that exposes the sin of the people of Judah. But you will notice that there is a difference between the first four verses of the chapter and the verses that comprise the text before us tonight. In those first four verses, God sends a word through Jeremiah that is very pointed, that is directed specifically at the people of Judah. There, Jeremiah speaks to the people of their sin and the judgment of God that is coming on them for their sin. You notice that although Jeremiah continues to speak of the sin of Judah and expose that sin, expand upon that explanation of their sin, he speaks more generally here in the text. You notice that in verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man." He does not say, "Cursed be you, Judah," but "cursed be the man." And then also you notice in verse 7, it's not "blessed is Judah," or the people of Judah, but "blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is." This is, that means, a broad and universal teaching of God that applies to all people. This is instruction that we must hear tonight as directed by God to us through Jeremiah. We must hear this also as instruction directed by God to us in family visitation. Do not, the word of God to us is, trust man. Trust in Jehovah. Trust in the Lord. And there's the contrast that is before us in the text. And in light of that contrast, we take as our theme tonight, trust in Jehovah versus trust in man. That's what the text speaks to us about tonight. Trust in Jehovah versus trust in man. And we notice that this Word of God speaks to us, first of all, about two very different contestants who vie for our trust. Secondly, this Word of God speaks of two very different outcomes for those who trust in Jehovah versus those who trust in man. And then thirdly, we notice the one practical calling. God puts before us tonight a question. Whom do you trust? And you must answer that question tonight. You must make a decision tonight on the basis of this Word of God that God places before you. And there are two options placed before us. The first option is placed before us in verse 5, where God, through Jeremiah, speaks of the man that trusteth in man and who maketh flesh his arm. And understand, Jeremiah is not speaking about some hypothetical situation. Notice the language is very direct. Jeremiah is describing an actual man. Only this isn't an individual man. This is a man who represents many other people. Jeremiah is saying there are people who do this. They put their trust in man. They make flesh their arm. That is, they trust in the flesh of man to be their strength. They rely upon man's strength. They trust in man. They believe man will provide them with safety and security. These are people, Jeremiah says, who have turned away from the Lord. He says that in verse 5. Their hearts have departed from Jehovah. They do not believe in God. They do not believe that God exists. They say in their hearts that there is no God. They do not trust in God, do not believe in Him, and show that in their actions. They rely only on the things that they can see. They put their faith in the things of this world, the material things of this world. They put their faith in the things that they can see, that are tangible, that they can touch. They deny that there is any spiritual reality or existence. We won't believe in anything we don't see. We will believe in the things that we can see and touch. Those things are solid and firm. And who or what in the world do they see that they think they can rely upon? Well, when they look in all of the world for something in which to put their trust, and they do that, man cannot be without trust in someone or something. Man needs to trust in someone or something. And so these unbelieving people, these unspiritual people, when they look in all the world and ask, what is the most trustworthy thing that we can see? They come to the conclusion that the greatest, most impressive being in all the world is man. Notice I didn't say creature. You don't believe in God. Do not believe man was created by God. Man is the most impressive being in the world. This man and these people that this man represents are impressed by man. They are impressed by the intelligence of man. They are impressed by man's power, by man's potential. Oh, they recognize there are some problems in the world that man has not yet solved. But that does not shake their faith in man, make them conclude that man isn't worthy of trust. No, they say, give man a little bit of more time. Give him more time to make scientific discoveries. Give him more time to make improvements in the area of technology. Give man the opportunity to conduct more social experiments. And the problems in the world, the things that bother man in the world, don't worry, trust in man. Man is our hope. Man solve all of these problems. And of course, that's all that the people in the world have. God is not in their hearts. God is not in their thoughts. So they trust in themselves. Jeremiah is describing the people of the world today, isn't he? We see that. Men are self-reliant. They think they can pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. You don't need anyone but yourself. You can be a self-made man or woman. Rely on yourself. And that's exactly what people do, especially in the little things, the everyday, ordinary things of life. They don't need God. They don't think of God. We can take care of these things, they say, on our own. But that's usually where they start. Man usually starts with self-reliance, trust in self, but he doesn't stay there very long because it doesn't take very long for him to recognize in the big things that happen in life. There are certain things that are beyond my control, man sees and says. And so, what does he do? Does he look to God? No. He continues to trust in flesh. In man, he says, when he's struggling with a disease that may be very debilitating, even life-threatening, I need a doctor. I need medicine. I may need the government to help me. And since this man does not believe in God, really, that means that it's wide open. He may trust in anything that he has determined will help him, will keep him safe, will give him security. And these people that this man represents, preach that in the world. Whatever it is that your heart desires, whatever it is that you think will give you comfort, go ahead. Trust in yourself. Trust in others. Trust in money. Trust in earthly possessions. Trust in food. Trust in alcohol. Anything that you can find that you think will help you, trust in it. Trust in man. But beloved, Jeremiah is speaking about this trust in man, not in the context of a situation where he's speaking to unbelieving, worldly people, but he is speaking to Judah, which demonstrates to us that this trust in man is not something that only those who deny God and say there is no God do, but this is something that even people who say they believe in God do. The people of Judah thought of themselves as the people of God. They identified themselves as God's people. They would never say there is no God. And yet, with their actions, they denied God. At this time, the nation of Judah is a weak nation. The powerful and mighty nation at this time is the nation of Babylon, ruled by King Nebuchadnezzar. And the nation of Judah is threatened with destruction, with captivity and destruction by the nation of Babylon. And what is the response of the people of Judah? To trust in God, to turn to God, to ask Him for His word and how to respond to this situation? No. Judah was self-reliant. The people of Judah put their trust in their king, Zedekiah. They put their trust in the weapons that they could see, the army that they could see. They put their trust in princes and in men. At the time that Judah was looking for answers to where they would look for their safety and security, the people said, "We'll not turn to Jehovah and His word, but we will trust in man." And of course, this applies to us too. We need to understand that tonight. The elders selected this passage for family visitation because they understand that it is a great temptation for us to turn away from Jehovah and to place our trust in man, in ourselves, in the things of this earth that we can see. It's easy for us, is it not, to forget about God in the little things of life? It's easy to think in our daily activities and in our execution of our daily responsibilities, I've got this, I don't need the Lord, I can do this on my own. And it's easy too for the people of God when the big things happen in life, the things that are beyond our control and we know it, not to look to God, but to other men, to other things that we believe can help us through that trouble. We're prone to trust in man. Now we need to understand that if we do that, we are forgetting about God and that we are trusting in flesh. Jeremiah speaks of the fact that the trust in man is the trust in flesh. He is indicating that trusting in man is futile because man is merely flesh. He is weak. He is a creature of the earth. To trust in man is to trust in someone who didn't create himself, is to trust in someone who has a weak physical arm that is limited in power and ability. To trust in man is to trust in a weak piece of flesh that doesn't have control over one's own life, much less the life of the rest of the world. But that is not all. Jeremiah here is exposing the sin of idolatry. That's clear from the first four verses of the chapter. This was the sin of Judah. This was the sin of the children of the people of Judah. They had set up high places. They had devoted themselves to idols. And now Jeremiah is explaining that further. He's saying, this is your idolatry. You trust in man. You trust in yourselves and not in God. And that's profound. because the biblical description of an idol is that an idol is completely useless and vain. If you thought that you could find some strength, some reason to rely upon man, Jeremiah exposes that as extreme foolishness. This is all that man is. A weak, helpless, powerless idol. Idols do not speak. Idols do not hear. Idols do not do anything. That's very humbling. The word of God to you and me tonight is, trust in man is to trust in a block of wood, a statue of stone, a vapor of air. Will you make man? Will you make yourself your idol, your object of your trust? That's option number one. Option number two is Jehovah, the Lord. Jeremiah speaks of that in verse 8, where he says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." This is the man who has faith. This is a spiritual man. A man who is planted, verse 8 says, by the waters. And the idea is that this man is planted in Jehovah. Jehovah, who is the source of living waters. This is a man that means that is rooted in God by faith, and therefore knows who God is, knows that God exists. But it also means that he is a man that God has taken hold of. God has united him to himself and to Jesus Christ by faith. This explains why this man trusts in Jehovah. This man trusts in Jehovah because Jehovah has saved this man. God has saved this man from his sins through Jesus Christ, whom God promised to send and whom he has sent into the world to save this man and all his people from sin and guilt. And God has given to this man the life of faith, the life in the mind of Jesus Christ. Unlike the man who trusts in man, this man believes in spiritual realities. He believes in the existence of God. He believes that God is powerful. He believes that God is sovereign over his life. He believes that God is eternal, and he knows that God is the Creator and the Redeemer. Therefore, his trust is in Jehovah for his spiritual need of sin. This was the problem for Judah, part of the problem. Even though the people of Judah thought that they were the people of God, they did not admit or see their sins. That comes out in the first four verses of the chapter. This is why Jeremiah speaks so pointedly and powerfully about the fact that the sin of the people of Judah was written on their hearts with an iron pen with a diamond point. Jeremiah spoke that forcefully to the people of Judah for this reason. They didn't confess their sins. We are the people of God, the children of Abraham. We are Judah. They thought because of that, God would forget about their sins. God would not hold them accountable for their sins. And that's what led the people of Judah ultimately to determine they didn't need to trust in God, but to trust in man. You see, sin is a spiritual reality. And if a man is not able to see sin, he's not able to see how great his sin is or how horrible his need is because of his sin. the man who trusts in Jehovah knows sin to be a great spiritual problem. And he sees this. I can't trust in man. Man cannot deliver me from sin. I cannot deliver myself. I cannot find anyone else in all the world who can deliver me from my sin. They who trust in God are able to see. It's not man. It's not flesh. It's not any earthly power that will deliver me from my sin, but Jehovah God alone. Because this man knows Jehovah, he knows the mercy of Jehovah, he knows His forgiving grace in Jesus Christ. And he trusts Him then for his salvation. And seeing that because Jehovah is the one, the only one he can trust to deliver him from that great spiritual reality of his sin, he trusts Jehovah completely. He does not trust in himself or anyone or anything else. He does not trust in man, in man's ideas, man's philosophy. He does not trust in the other things that man says, these are the things that you need, these are the things that will help you in your life. He trusts only in Jehovah. Beloved, these are the two, only two options. Jeremiah's word from God is saying this: set aside everything in the world. If there's anything in the world that you could possibly put your trust in, there's only one thing, that's man. He's flesh. He's weak. He's sinful. He is vain and powerless. The only other option is to trust in Jehovah, the eternal, almighty God, the Creator, the Redeemer, the God of all wisdom and power and comfort. In whom will you trust? But to help us answer that question, Jeremiah is sent by God to say more than that these are the two options, and to contrast between God and man. Jeremiah also reveals the different outcomes that occur from trusting in God versus trusting in man. And this is important for us to consider tonight, beloved. There's no mystery here for us. We do not have to wonder, what happens when we trust in the Lord? What happens to that man that makes Jehovah his hope? And what happens to the man who trusts in man, who looks besides Jehovah and other things for his comfort and safety? The text tells us, we need to hear this word of God, what happens to the man who trusts not in Jehovah, but man. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Here's the description of his condition and the curse. For he shall be like the heath, that is, the cactus in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. This is a very desolate, depressing picture, really hopeless. The idea is that the man who says, I'm going to trust in man, I'm going to place my trust somewhere apart from Jehovah, he finds that he has been foolish. He has no hope. He is destroyed. God's curse is upon this man. And what is described here especially is that God's curse is upon this man in this life. That's what Jeremiah is depicting here in the text. God's curse is upon all of those who trust in man instead of in God. Now there's a question here. Are we to understand that God will make those who trust in idols miserable in this life? And the answer is that that is sometimes the case. That is what happened in the case of Zedekiah. You want to see a man who was cursed by the Lord as a consequence for the fact that he didn't trust in the Lord? You see that in Zedekiah. The king would not place his trust in God or in his word. He would not place his trust in the word of Jeremiah, who told King Zedekiah, surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. He told the nation of Judah, you go willingly into captivity. And don't worry, he told the people ahead of time, it's only 70 years. God will keep you safe. God will bring you back to the land of Judah. You will not be destroyed. But Zedekiah said, no, I won't trust in that word of the Lord. And the people of Judah said, that word of the Lord sounds untrustworthy. It sounds wrong. God would have a surrender? Wouldn't it be better to fight, to take up arms against the Babylonians? God gave Zedekiah over to his idolatry. God said, you will face Nebuchadnezzar and his army, but without me. And the consequence of that for Zedekiah was, and the people of Judah was, that Nebuchadnezzar did come with his army. He defeated the nation of Judah in the city of Jerusalem. He slaughtered many of the people of Judah. And the consequence for Zedekiah was this. Nebuchadnezzar had him bound and had his soldiers kill his sons before his own eyes. And then he had his soldiers take out the eyes of Zedekiah. Beloved, sometimes that happens. God causes misery to come upon those who trust in themselves or an idol by giving them to that idol, and they suffer greatly for it. What happens when God gives a man over to greed? Jeremiah speaks of that later on in this chapter. What happens when a man has determined that he's going to trust in himself and in his money, and God gives him over to that? That man is given over to that sin. He's given over to that idol. He becomes more greedy, more selfish. And perhaps he even begins to lie, and to steal, and to cheat. And the consequence for that is that he's hated. He doesn't have friends. People don't trust him. He is like a cactus in the middle of the desert, an uninhabited land. What happens when God gives a man over to the idol of alcohol? When he says, I'm not going to trust in God, I'm not going to look to him for what I need in this situation, but I'm going to turn to alcohol. And God gives that man over more and more to that alcohol. He lives more and more in drunkenness. And his life falls apart. He may lose his family, his friends, his membership in the church. And he becomes isolated in his life. He's given over to his idol. He's cursed by God. But the text is speaking, beloved, not only of those kinds of consequences for those who trust in man and not in God. The text is speaking of the very serious spiritual consequences of trusting in an idol instead of God. That comes out when in verse 6, Jeremiah says, this man will be like a cactus in the desert and shall not see when good cometh. Picture this cactus. in the midst of the desert. No pool of water, no stream of water. When the rain comes, the idea is that the sun will evaporate much of the rain. The rest of the rain will simply disappear, be soaked up into the sand, and it won't do the cactus any good. Soon, you'll be alone under the heat of the sun and dried out. The idea is this. God curses the man who does not trust in Him by withholding from him all spiritual good. When it rains, he may enjoy the rain. And when God provides food, God may provide for him food. He may enjoy prosperity and many other good things in this life. But the man who says, I'm not going to trust in Jehovah, I'm going to trust in myself or something else, that man has no knowledge of God, of His love, His mercy, or grace. Beloved, that's a miserable thing. Because his heart is hard. Because he trusts in the Lord, he may have the Word of God preached to him. Or he may have people of God come to him with the Word of God, encouraging him to put his trust in the Lord, encouraging him to seek the mercy of God through Jesus Christ. But because this man has determined that he's going to trust in the Lord, trust in man, he experiences no good, no grace or mercy from the Lord. He's miserable and cursed, forsaken of God. Beloved, we need to understand that. That's misery in this life. To know nothing of God. To know nothing of Him in daily life. To know nothing of Him, especially in the midst of the difficulties and the troubles of life. Jeremiah seems to be emphasizing that here in this word. Here is this man. He is struggling. He has trouble, sorrow in his life. He's in the midst of a desert, in a salt land. What a pity. He does not have God or His Word upon which to rely. He can only rely on himself, some other creature of the world, some other arm of flesh. He can only rely on some other thing of the world. He is cursed of God. And understand that this curse is the powerful Word of God that causes that man to be miserable not only now but eternally. This is the Word of God that kills the man whom he curses with everlasting condemnation in hell. That is the picture. This man in the middle of the desert, forsaken of God and His grace, eternally perishing in the fires of hell. Will you trust in man? Or will you trust in God? Knowing not only that He is God, Almighty, Eternal God, but that He blesses those who trust in Him. That's verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. And then verse 8 is the explanation of his condition. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, shall not be careful in the year of the drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. This is a beautiful picture. A picture of safety, of security, of prosperity, of health and hope. Now again, the question may be, is this blessing a blessing that is material? Is God going to give to those who trust in Him a good and easy earthly life? Well, we can say here, people of God, that those who trust in the Lord will be delivered from the consequences. They will be kept from the consequences that sin can often bring into people's lives. They won't struggle with the consequences of drunkenness when they do not look to alcohol as their God. They will not struggle with the consequences of greed if they do not look to money as their God. They will not struggle with the consequences that are all around us in the world today of those people who trust in physical health and beauty as their God. The extreme case being that of those who have eating disorders like anorexia. Those people struggle with great physical and even spiritual consequences for their decisions. Their life may even come to an end. And if they do not die because of their decisions, they suffer great health consequences. Those who trust in the Lord are kept from those consequences. But we need to understand that what Jeremiah is speaking about here is a spiritual curse especially, and now a spiritual blessing. And that comes out from the fact that he does speak here in verse 8 about the fact that this man is like a tree planted by the river, and yet the year of the drought comes, and he says, the heat cometh. That means that we do not expect, as those who trust in Jehovah, that means there won't be any heat, any drought, any suffering or hurt in this life. But it means that just as the man who does not trust in the Lord receives no spiritual grace or blessing from God, those who do trust in the Lord and are firmly planted in Him as the well of living waters, constantly, even when the heat comes, when the year of the drought comes, draw from Him grace and mercy and experience great relationship with the Lord. That's the blessing of the man who trusts in Jehovah. He knows that Jehovah is his friend. He knows that he is rooted and planted in Jehovah. He knows that even if the heat comes, that can't separate him from Jehovah. It's not possible for me to die in the middle of this desert and barren wasteland. The Jehovah, the eternal God, the fountain of living waters. He is the source to me daily of His Spirit and grace and mercy. The man who trusts in Jehovah does not miss out when the good comes from God. When God's Word comes to him through the preaching, comforting, bringing the Word of comfort and mercy through Jesus Christ, or when it comes to him from other people, maybe family members or friends, explaining to him the comfort of knowing who Jehovah is and the comfort of turning to him. And when they point to him, that's the answer. That's what you need in your life, to turn to Jehovah. This man experiences the spiritual strength and comfort of the grace of the Lord. And the beauty of it is that because that man is planted by the river of God's grace, as he trusts in Jehovah, he draws more and more from the well of his grace and mercy and experiences more and more his blessing in this life. So he's able to say, I don't fear the heat. I don't fear the drought. In fact, if the heat comes, the drought comes, life becomes difficult. I know Jehovah, the eternal God, the fountain of living waters, will refresh me, preserve me, even bless me, and make me happy. The blessing, just as the curse, is the mighty word of God that brings eternal life. God waters us, beloved, in this desert of this world. He waters us with His grace and His mercy so that we may live and persevere in the midst of this desert world. But He is the fountain, beloved, of living water, of eternal life. And by His grace and mercy, Jehovah will nourish those who trust in Him, ultimately with eternal life in heaven. Who will you trust in, beloved? Do you see how in describing for us the consequences of trusting in man, Jeremiah has exposed even further the weakness of man? Imagine yourself, beloved, in the midst of a desert, all alone. It's dry and thirsty. Your throat is parched. Are you going to say to yourself, "This is what I'll do. I'll go to that cactus. All alone there in the middle of a salt land." That would be foolish. Why not turn and be like that tree over there that is planted by the living waters of God's grace? The one practical calling in the light of what Jeremiah teaches us in the text is to trust in the Lord. You see, really, there is no contest here, and that's the point of the teaching of God in this text. There's no comparison between God and man. God is eternal. God is infinite. There is no one, the Scriptures teach us, who can be compared to God. So,